You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
You know, that was Dee Do Do A Dee by Bic Phuong. Yes, a hit that I'm sure you're all familiar with. Currently topping the charts here in Vietnam. Speaking of Vietnam, great place. What a great place to be. Having lots of fun here in Vietnam. Currently in Hanoi, in the north of Vietnam. What a crazy place. What a mad place, man. I can't believe I'm here. I look around, I really can't believe it. Honest to God. Seriously. Some days I just have days where I'm like, what the hell am I doing here? And I don't even mean that in a bad way, I just mean as in, I look around and I'm like, seriously bro, what the hell are you doing here? Why the hell am I here right now? When did this happen? And I'm like, well, do you mean this city specifically? We'll get back to that in a second.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Once in a while one of us wakes up. It's not supposed to happen, but it does.
Oh, that's perfect timing. That particular clip is from Dark City. And that's Detective Walensky explaining what's happened. Because the main characters in the film, they've all worked out that something very strange is going on. And the detective has gone mad. That's Detective Walensky. He woke up to the madness before anyone else because he was on the case. He was on a very important case. And he figured out something was not quite right. The new guy on the case finds out that Walensky was on the case, but then he lost his mind. So he's like, I need some leads. I'll go to Walensky's place and see if Walensky can tell me anything. You know, give me some leads here. So he goes and he visits Walensky. Dude, the guy's gone mad. Yeah, he's just staying in his room, just drawing circles everywhere. Yeah. And then the main guy, played by, is it William Hurt, I think? He's like, you saw something, didn't you, Ed? Something to do with the case. And then Walensky says, there is no case. There never was. It's all just a big joke. It's a joke. And then we see the new detective just walking out of there. He's like, holy shit, man, this dude lost his mind. But what he doesn't know at that stage, what he will only learn subsequently, is that Walensky, yeah, maybe he's lost his mind a little bit, but not really. It's just that Walensky has seen some things. And so now he seems crazy, but really, he's worked out what's going on. In fact, Walensky even says, I've been over every inch of this city. There's no way out, all right? He worked out, hold on, you can't even get out of this place, yeah? But of course no one would listen to him, he went mad, and I don't want to spoil the film for you, but Walensky's fate is, many people would suggest, not a good one. Many people would suggest that, other people would say no, it's a good solution, some people would say. I would not say that, but I can understand it. Yeah, Dark City. made the year before The Matrix, I believe. Officially, anyhow. 1998. Whereas The Matrix is officially 1999 in terms of their release. They could have been made at the same time for all I know. What I do know is that officially, The Matrix used one of the sets from Dark City. The scene where Trinity is running from the police, very early in the film. She's running from the agents. That set, that rooftop set, is supposedly from Dark City. I don't know if that's true, that's just what it says on Wikipedia. But they were both filmed at Fox Studios in Sydney, Australia. Both The Matrix and Dark City. And of course, they both do cover some themes or ideas or concepts that a lot of people who are into fakeology will be able to relate to or find interesting. Both films, The Matrix and Dark City. So yes, that clip that was playing, Ab's little clip. Sorry about the noise, by the way, guys. It's a loud city. It really is. It's a loud city. Anyway. So yes, the 17th of November, 2019. John LeBond coming to you from Hanoi. It's great to be here. Thank you very much. Hello to all the listeners out there in Fakeology land. And the truth is, I can't even believe I'm doing this. I can't even believe I'm sitting here. And I'm just talking. I'm in an empty apartment. It's just me here. In this apartment. And I'm just talking to a mostly dark computer screen. And you can hear it, whoever you are, wherever you are in the world, at any time in the future. Yeah, you could be listening live, you could be listening on the Sunday your time, because it's obviously Sunday night here for me, but I'm in a part of the world that's probably ahead of most of you in terms of time. So maybe you're listening on your Sunday, maybe you're listening during the week. Maybe you're listening in your car on the way to work. Or maybe you're listening as a podcast as you walk around your suburb. Yeah, that is phenomenal to me that we can do that. That's absolute magic. It's crazy. And then, putting aside the magic of the technology, who the hell am I talking to? I'm talking to a bunch of people who, for the most part, do not believe that the shootings on TV are real. Yeah, most of you do not believe when they say, oh, there's a school shooting, blah, blah, blah. You don't believe it. Same as me. How the hell, you know what I mean? How come we don't believe the TV anymore? How did that happen? You're meant to believe the TV. Why would the TV lie about this? Why would the government lie about this? Do you really think that a lady who's in tears is lying about losing her family? Do you really believe they're lying? Really? That's crazy, man. Why would they lie? How come nobody has come out and told us all yet? Where's the whistleblower? Anyone who says that this is all a lie is crazy, conspiracy theorist, blah, blah, blah. So how come you don't believe the TV? And how come I don't believe the TV? That's crazy shit. Well, what Walensky says is sometimes we wake up. It's not supposed to happen, but it does. Yeah, I really can't explain. And then, of course, you've got the other element of a lot of the people who claim to know that the TV is lying. If you study what they say about other things and their beliefs about other things, and you try to get to know these people as individuals, you start to realize a lot of them haven't actually woken up to anything. They're just parrots. They're just parroting a new set of lines. They're basically like bots, as far as I'm concerned, most of them, yeah. Even people who sing like they're awake, quote-unquote, no, most of them are hopeless, man. Completely hopeless. Completely hopeless. In my humble opinion, of course. In my humble opinion, yeah. Yeah. So it is 11:10 p.m. on a Sunday night. I'm looking forward to the Formula One, which begins in about 60 minutes' time. But I didn't want to go out to the... I didn't want to go out to the sports bar to watch the Formula One. Normally that's what I would do. But I didn't want to do that today. I wanted to stay home. I was out way too late last night. Way too late, man. Getting home alive. Just silly hours. Not good for you. So I thought I would stay home instead. I'm glad I did. I met my neighbours for the first time tonight. And get this. They're French. They can barely speak English. They seem like nice people, though. They seem like really nice guys. But and if I could speak English, I'd probably be out there with them right now. They were having a couple of beers, I'd have a beer with them, that'd be great. So they could barely speak English, and it's like, oh. And can you imagine my disappointment? Like, as I'm walking towards my apartment, their door, how do I explain this to you? It's like a hallway, and at the end of the hallway is their apartment, whereas mine is at the end, but still on the left-hand side, you see. So for me to get into my apartment, I have to see them. But I've never seen them before. I've been here for like a week or two in this particular place. So as I'm walking towards my apartment, I see Westerners. And actually, I'm excited about this. I'm like, hey, this could be cool, yeah? Because one of the dudes, he seems cool. Like, just from looking at him, he seemed like a cool dude. The other guy seemed nice enough. So I'm like, oh, this is cool, man. Speak to some Westerners. This would be great. And they can't speak English. Can you imagine my disappointment? I mean, they can kind of. We chatted for a little bit, but you can tell their English is not so good. And I'm like, I'm tired of broken communication. I went out to this event last night, and it was Japanese people, actually. One Vietnamese guy, who could actually speak pretty good English. I'm going to try and catch up with him again. He seems like a really cool dude. But the others there, all the girls there, were all Japanese. All the ladies were Japanese. And just, after a certain period of time, it just becomes a little bit frustrating. The amount of to communicate very basic information in a second language is difficult. So if you've got a bunch of people who cannot speak English, you know, what they will talk about in the space of an hour, seriously, you and I, if you're a natural English speaker, am I a natural English speaker? I'm struggling right now. But you know what I'm trying to say. Normally, good speakers could communicate the same information in 5 or 10 minutes, tops. So you just sit there and it's like, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, oh, shit, man. So because that happened yesterday, I'm not really... And they were nice people, by the way. Very nice people. I'm not really in the mood to speak in broken English anymore. And not today, anyway. So that's what happened. But yeah, there you go. I found out they're in an Airbnb as well. So I for some reason, I thought I had Vietnamese people with the next room to me. No, because you see, now I'm in the French Quarter of Hanoi, which is popular with tourists and Westerners. Still majority Vietnamese, but this particular area, I should not be surprised that my neighbours, my next door neighbours are Westerners, and they're Airbnb as well. This, I only found out tonight, this guy's explained to me, this whole freaking floor is Airbnb. I didn't realise. So the previous place I was in Hanoi, it was just out, pardon me, it was just outside of the French Quarter, so there were no Westerners there. And it's only 5 minutes down the road from here. But here, no, I've got French neighbours. And who knows who's on the other side? I haven't seen him yet. So, yeah, that's my story. That's my story. Is there a point to this story? Not really. I'm just talking. Whatever. That's one of the things I like about Fakeology. I can just come here and just talk. You know what I mean? When I'm doing material for my channel, for my website, I do feel like I have to have a point to everything I say and do. There has to be a purpose. What am I trying to talk about? What's the structure? What are the topics? Et cetera, et cetera. But on the fake call, just live stream audio chat, I can just say whatever I like, no problems. It's all good. And we're very fortunate to have this facility. So thank you once again, Ab, for making this facility available. It's fantastic. It really is fantastic. But yeah, it is crazy, man. Not believing in the TV, that's crazy. Why would you not believe the TV? Why would you not believe the TV? Explain that to me. You've got to believe the TV, man. How can you not believe the TV? Nhưng đủ lâu để anh khiến em nhớ mặt. Con gái đâu yêu bằng mắt. Sao bỗng nhiên tim lại lắc. Không biết anh có nhặt. Hình như em thích anh thích thật rồi. Mà yêu thì cho chúng em thấy chưa đau. Một người con gái mà kiêu ngạo thì rất là khó để yêu. So as you can probably tell, she's singing about media fakery. You can't believe what's on TV. You can't believe what's on TV. No, actually, what she's singing about is when I saw you, you cut through me like a chainsaw or something. I don't know. You know. You know. When other countries and their lyrics to songs are translated, just seems completely ridiculous. That's the lyrics for that song. I'm sure it's the same when you try and translate English into Vietnamese as well. They'd be like, what the hell? Yeah. Anyway, anything interesting happened lately? Oh, yeah, so Formula One. So I'm watching Formula One tonight, and a lot of people out there in Fakeology land believe that all sports are rigged, and they could well be right. I would not be the least bit surprised if I somehow discovered, like obviously I'll never know, but suppose somehow I could just discover exactly how Formula One is operated. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if sometimes, or oftentimes, it's basically scripted. This guy's going to win today. This guy's going to come second, third, fourth. Yeah. They could even fake a lot of the technical issues if they wanted. Oh, no, we've got a gearbox problem. Have to come in. You know, they could script a whole lot if they wanted. Wouldn't be difficult, man. Wouldn't be difficult. The question is, are they actually doing that? I don't think so. Personally. But if I met someone, suppose I come to England and I catch up with my old mate Tommy Delpra. Very talented musician, not Tommy Delpra. We don't see much of him around Fat Gorgeous these days. I understand he is with his, he's got himself a girlfriend and he'd rather spend time with her. And I don't blame him one bit, you know. Once you've done a few years of Fakeology, you basically get the gist of it. You don't need to spend too much time here. More fun to spend time with family, friends, girlfriend as the case may be, whatever the case might be. I totally get it. So we don't see much of old Tommy D these days, but suppose I went to England and I caught up with him for a cup of tea and he said to me, can I do a British accent? I can't really do British accents, which is crazy, right? Because I'm Australian, it should be easy for me. Can't really do British accents. Should I try? No, not live on here. Should practice first and then try. Let me think, Tom Delpra. It's been so long since I've spoken with him. Ah, you know what? I'll practice. I'll come back. Next time I'm here, I'll try. I'll try and do a Tommy Delpra accent, but yeah. I remember a few years ago, I thought to myself, man, that Jay Dyer, I want to be as good as he is at impressions. And I was like, yep, I'm going to start practicing. But I just never put in the time and effort. But it's a really cool skill to have, that ability to do impressions on the fly. I'm still young enough. I should try and learn that. Might be one of my New Year's resolutions. Yeah, boy. Shit. Yeah, so if I caught up with old Tommy Delpra, and he said to me, come on, JLB, do you really think that the Formula One could be real? Like, they're all, you've got 20 people all trying to be as fast as they can and finish as high as they can. Do you really believe that, JLB? I'd be like, yeah. But at the same time, I could be wrong. It could all be completely scripted. I don't know. I don't think I need to script it, though. I don't think I need to, personally. I think in most professional sports, they don't really need to script it. They can influence it so that the more popular teams make the playoffs, you know, by giving them easier fixtures or scheduling. Like, say, in the football league that I follow in Australia, the Australian Football League, which is this bizarre game that is only played in Australia. And the league that runs it keeps trying to, like, expand the game into Africa, into Asia. It's a complete joke. It's a complete joke. No other country wants to play this game. It's a silly game, really. It's very complicated, and in many ways it's boring. Like, I love it, because I grew up with it. If I didn't grow up with it, I'd think it was a stupid game, to be honest. Especially the modern version of it. 30 years ago, it was more spectacular. It was more crazy stuff happening, whereas these days, it's very regimented. So it's... Like I said, I'd love it, but I just think it's... Objectively, I just think it's probably a boring game, really. Complicated, too. Far too complicated. For someone who's just new picking it up. But anyway, they don't have a full home and away fixture, right? It used to be home and away, so you would play every team once, home and away. So if there's 10 teams, that means 18 matches in a season, yeah? Home and away. If there's 12 teams, that means you play 22 matches, right? Because you've got 11 other teams, home and away, times 2, 22, you see? But they kept expanding the league, so now there's 18 teams. Well, there's only 22 rounds, right? So now you've got 18 matches, yeah, guaranteed. And then... What about the other, 17 matches rather, guaranteed, and then what about the other five? Well, the league can fixture them however they want. So you'll get some teams that are just crap every year. Every year they're crap. Because there's no relegation either, that's the other thing. So you've got some teams who are terrible, you know they're going to be terrible again next year, and the league can give you an extra game against them if they want. Yeah? There's no official... Oh, we have to have a rolling fixture that's fair across two or three. No. Every year, they just got to do it all over again. So with things like that, obviously they can influence the outcome. And then, of course, umpiring as well. You look at soccer, football, as many of you guys would know. You've only got one referee out on the field, one main referee anyhow. It's a bit different these days with VAR, I guess, but, you know, refs can influence the outcome for sure. So yeah, like, they can influence the outcomes. And I think in AFL they definitely do influence the outcomes. But in terms of actually scripting it and saying, your team this week has to win, and you this week you guys lose, no, I don't think so. I don't think they do that. I don't think they need to do that. There's a need for it. I get enough. The game is interesting and fascinating enough as it is, and it's scripted, in my personal opinion. Now, with that being said, take a look at the UFC, right? The UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championship, I believe is what that stands for. Everybody knows that's the UFC. That's a huge, huge promotion now.
If you want to encourage more audios like these, please go to Fakeologist.com and click the Patreon button under the Donate section. For $1.19 a month, you can call yourself a verified listener, and for $9.11 a month, a benefactor, who will get a shout out every time Ab does a show. Thank you for your support.
Yes, thank you, Ab, and thank you to all of the supporters out there who support Fakeologist.com. What would we do if Fakeologist disappeared? What would we do? Someone tell me that. Some people would probably come to my website. They'd be like, all right, I'll finally come and join JLB's website. It's the best. I guess I have to go there. But most people wouldn't. They would just disappear altogether. Yeah? So I still think Fakeologist.com is the hub of media fakery discussion in this corner of the internet. And I think we're very, very fortunate to have it. So thank you to all the supporters who keep encouraging Ab to do this. I haven't listened to Ab's latest call with Jerris. I've downloaded it. I haven't actually listened to it yet. I will, though, obviously. But I did listen to Ab's call with the new dude. Bevy. Bevy. Yes, Bevy. From Australia. I think he said where he's from. I'm pretty sure he's from Melbourne. Or from around Melbourne. Just from the accent. Maybe he did say that. I can't remember. But as I was listening to him, I'm like, oh, this dude sounds difficult. Accents are difficult, man. They really are. I've met some Aussies who have travelled enough that they can tell accents just from listening. But most of us, we're not that good. We're not that good at it. There are little giveaways, like Queenslanders say pool rather than pool. Yeah. People from Adelaide and Perth tend to say chance rather than chance. There are little giveaways like that, but generally we sound pretty much similar. But at the same time, sometimes you just get this feeling, oh, no, this dude sounds similar to what I know. So anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, Ab. Oh, yeah, so anyway, I listened to this call with Ab and Bevy, and it's just nice, man. When Ab's in a good mood and he's in that perky, jocular mood, and yeah, he's nice to listen to. It's a shame that there's not 10 times more media fakery-aware people out there so that we could somehow fund Ab. Because he can't drive trucks forever, man. You can't do that forever, all right? You can't. You shouldn't either. Dangerous. So Ab is still fine now, but in a few years' time, he's going to have to seriously think about scaling back from the truck driving. And when he does, wouldn't it be cool if he had like even just three times a week, like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, yeah? Fakeologist, call in, dial, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Wouldn't that be cool? Yeah, and I think if there was enough people out there supporting it, I reckon we could convince him to do it. Again, we're looking a few years down the track. Yeah, he's not that old. What is he, 50-something? He's not that old. But eventually, you know, I think it'd be good if we could get him to do this semi-professionally, because I think he's got a natural talent for it. And when people have a natural talent for something, I think it's cool when they pursue it and when they're encouraged to share it with the world. Yes. That's just my opinion. Yeah, so Formula One. Who am I cheering for tonight? I don't know. I don't really have a favourite driver or a favourite team. I like Daniel Ricciardo because he's Australian, obviously, but he left Red Bull and now he's driving for, I don't even know who, Honda or something? Is it Honda? I don't know. One of the crap teams. This is the problem with Formula One. There's only three good teams. There's 10 teams and only three of them are good. The same three teams win every single race, literally. There's no exceptions to that. Nobody expects the other 14 cars to win. Ever. Not a single race this year will be won by Toro Rosso or Honda or Renault. I think that's where Ricciardo went, Renault, not Honda. Or maybe they're the same thing, I don't even know. I don't follow it that closely. So, see, now that he's racing for a shit team, it's like, it's not even fun. So you got, so they call it Formula 1.5. You've got three teams that are Formula 1, and the other seven teams are Formula 1.5, because they're racing against each other, yeah. Like, for instance, today, one of the races, is it Leclerc? Charles Leclerc for Ferrari, I think? He has to start back at position 14, even though he qualified, like, I don't know, fourth fastest, I think. Because he was given a penalty for changing his engine, which you're allowed to change your engine, but that just means you have to take a penalty. So that's what he's done. That's what Ferrari have done. But give it a few laps, he'll be back up in the top six. Because it's just a joke out there, man. It's a joke, and everyone knows it. Everyone just accepts it. That's one thing I don't like about Formula One. So, in fact, I'd say that's the worst thing about it. I think everything else is really cool. I think it's a very well commentated sport. I like the commentators. I like the camera work. It's a fantastic thing to watch if you're into that kind of thing. But it's just always knowing the same three teams are going to win. That's the frustrating part. You would think they'd be able to do something about that, but no. Apparently not. Because it was the same last year. It was the same year before that. And it will be the same again next year. It will be Williams versus Ferrari versus Red Bull. That'll be it. And even then, Red Bull are, like, struggling. It's pretty much Williams, far and away the best, Ferrari, and then Red Bull. So it's not even really watching three teams. It's more like watching one, and then if they falter, watching another two, and then praying that one day those six cars will smash into each other, and everyone walks away safe. Like, you don't see any deaths or anything like that. But you want to say the cars are written off, and then just let the other 14 go for it. Like, today, boys, one of you is going to win. The other six are all out. Today, one of you is going to be number one. Spraying champagne all over the place, yeah? And partying like there is no tomorrow. That'd be cool. But, yeah, so who am I cheering for tonight? Nobody, really. I just like to watch it. I never used to like Formula One. And then last year, I think it was last year, really long story short, I consumed a substance and watched Formula One for no reason. Like, all right, it was on. I was like, all right, I'll watch it. And, you know, sometimes when you're, like, in that zone where things are a lot more interesting or you find it a lot easier to believe that you're there even though you're not there, I was in one of those zones. And as I'm watching the Formula One, I just fully got into it. Like, in the space of one race, I went from thinking it was a stupid sport. I went from thinking it was like, yeah, it is a sport, but not really, and it's stupid and whatever, to like, holy shit, this is cool. And then I wanted to take up kart racing, but it was too expensive. I had no money back then. I've still got no money to this day, really. Especially back then, I had no cash. But yeah, if I ever go back to Australia, if I ever settle down anywhere, I'd love to get into kart racing. Yeah, I love it now. Absolutely love it. All based on one experience, yeah. When I say I love it, I just mean I love the spectacle, and I think the sport's really cool now. And like I said, I don't follow anyone. I don't cheer for any team. I mean, I'll look up who is, like, favourite today, and I'll cheer against them. I love cheering against the favourite. So I think today the favourite is, what's his name? Verstappen. Max Verstappen. Where's he from? Holland? Verstappen. Sounds Dutch to me. He's a successful young dude. I'm not really cheering against him, but since he's in pole position, stuff it. I hope someone else gets him. Whoever, I don't care. Preferably Ricardo, but like I said, he's driving a Formula 1.5 car. It's a joke. It's just a complete joke, man. Yeah, it's just a joke. So yes, that's what I'm watching tonight at 12:10. And then also tonight, there's a game between England and Kosovo. And if you're anything like me, you'd be thinking, what, England versus Kosovo? Yeah, there's a football game. It's a qualifier for the 2020 Euros. And England is going to Kosovo. They're playing in Kosovo. Now, if you're anything like me, you're like, Kosovo? Is that a country, is it? Yeah, it's a country, apparently. Apparently, I don't know, don't ask me. Apparently, it's actually a country. And, yeah, they're playing against England. So, even though I like England, I will be cheering for Kosovo because they are the underdogs, you see. And that's what I will do to entertain myself. I really need to find a new TV show to watch or something. This year, all I've watched on, like, in terms of TV is Futurama. Like, old, like, 10, 15-year-old seasons of Futurama. Maybe 20 years old, I don't even know. And Seinfeld, which is, like, 20 years old. That's all I've watched. I haven't watched anything new. I could. It's easy to download stuff. But I can't bring myself to do it. And watching movies is, like, I enjoy it, but it's almost like a job now to watch movies. You know what I mean? That's how it feels. Like, I'm always analysing them so much. So, see, I like movies, but I rarely watch them unless it's specifically for purpose of research, for like a podcast or something. Because if I'm just watching for fun, it's like it is fun, but I'm just thinking about it too much, you know what I mean? Which I don't like to. It just changes the experience, you know what I mean? So, yeah. The point of my story is I just like sport because it's something to watch. Yeah. Whether it's football or Formula One. So, yes, that's what I'm doing. So, another half an hour to go. Half an hour. Until that's on. Yes. What else is news? What else is going on? Oh, yes. Fakeologist.com. Some interesting discussions going on regarding a news story about a. Apparently, there was some kind of mishap. Somebody was mutilating a baby, and they made a mistake, and it made the news in Canada. Of course, they don't call it mutilating. They call it circumcision. It's amazing how easily you can fool humans just by changing one word for another. Oh, it's not mutilating, it's circumcision. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's all right. You know those crazy backwards people in the Middle East? You know they do female mutilation? Oh, those sickos. Those sickos. How dare they? That is just such a sick thing to do. But I've got to take little Billy off for his circumcision. No, that's all right. It's just circumcision, man. It's totally cool. It's all right. Don't worry about it. Man, humans are just fuck stupid, man. It is incredible. It is absolutely incredible. I've got a theory as to what's going on, but the theory is pretty crazy, man. I don't know if you want to hear it. It's just a theory, though. Like, what if these people actually are real-life people? Like, what if this actually is all real? What if this is all real? Can you imagine that? If this whole thing actually all was real, and you've got real humans in a real existence mutilating babies, just like in our so-called civilized society. Can you imagine if this was all real? Holy shit! Holy shit, man. Just ritually, routinely mutilating babies, man. And these same people will moralistically tell you what is right and wrong. Mutilating babies, that's if the baby's lucky enough to be born. Chances are it's going to get aborted. I use Reddit a lot, reddit.com. Excellent resource. And recently I was checking out Reddit Vietnam. This might have been yesterday. Yesterday or the day before, I was checking out Reddit Vietnam. I like to see, like, sometimes people will post things like, they'll take a photo and they'll be like, what's this? And then someone will say, oh, that's blah, 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 blah. Or someone will say, hey, there's this cool event. Or sometimes someone will say, hey, I'm new to the area. Do you want to hang out? Like, I've met people through Reddit. It's really cool. I saw this post either yesterday or the day before, and it was, where can a Westerner get an abortion in Hanoi or Saigon, one of the two big cities? That was the post. That was the thread. Where can a Westerner get an abortion? And so, of course, out of morbid curiosity, I clicked on the thread. Of course I did. And I read their post. And what does their post say? It says, and I'm paraphrasing, and this is from memory, obviously, but I promise you I'm not exaggerating. It says words to the effect of, this baby's more than 12 weeks. I don't want to have it because I was drinking for the first part of the pregnancy, like with the implication being they didn't know they were pregnant. So that's understandable. It's understandable that they would not have known that they were pregnant, so they were drinking. That I can understand that part, but it says, don't want to have this baby because I was drinking in the first part of the pregnancy, and also it's not really financially viable for my partner and I at this time. So these people travelling around Asia, possibly English teachers, yeah? Possibly just tourists. Possibly slow travellers like myself. Who knows? But she's gotten pregnant, and now she wants to know, where can she go to have this baby murdered while it's still inside of her? But of course, they don't call it murder, you call it abortion. The old switcheroo works every time. People are stupid. Oh, it's just a clump of cells. Okay. Okay. So anyway, that's what this person posts on Reddit Vietnam. Right? Now imagine if this whole reality is actually real. Could you imagine if, like, what if this whole place is real? Yeah? Could you imagine if there actually was such a thing as objective right and wrong, and actually was, like, an overall judge of all of this? Holy shit! We would be in so much trouble, man. We would be in a lot of trouble. We would be in a lot of trouble. Holy shit! Could you imagine? Oh boy, there would be hell to pay. Holy shit. Boggles the mind. So yeah, so circumcision and abortion. Or mutilation and murder. Yes. Well, as they say here in Vietnam, D-do-do-a-D. Yeah, yeah, boy. No video specified. What the hell are you talking about? Ah, regime, you see. That's what I'm talking about. Bye. Room?
Hey.
What a great song. Seriously, I love it. D-do-do-a-D. By Phuc Phuong or something like that, I don't know. It's like a difficult language, Vietnamese, it really is. Chinese, there are four tones, okay? So, for instance, the word ma. Ma, 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 ma. Four tones. Vietnamese, ask a Vietnamese person how many tones are in their language. You won't even get a straight answer. They don't even know. 15, 16, 20, they don't know. 30, they don't know. They've got that many tones, they don't even know. At least Chinese is just four. Ma, 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 ma. Yeah? Which seems so complicated if you're an English speaker when you first learn it. I was like, what the hell? What's with all the tones? I enrolled in Chinese before I even knew that there were tones. So it blew my mind. My first week of classes, I was like, what have I got myself in for here? But actually, Chinese is a piece of piss compared to Vietnamese, in my personal opinion. And I've spoken to people who've tried to learn, because I haven't tried to learn Vietnamese. As soon as I found out there was 15 tones, I'm like, alright, see you later. That's all I need to know. I'm out. Done. Thank you very much. But I know people who've actually tried to learn both, and they have, every single one has agreed with me, Vietnamese is way more difficult than Chinese. Which is crazy because their written language uses the same letters we do, same scripts, just with funny little intonations above and below the letter. You can still read it, you know? But speaking it, no, it's so difficult for a Westerner. So yeah, seriously, I've been here for like, what, 4 months now? 5 months? 4 or 5 months? I still can't even count to 10. Because I haven't even really tried. It's too difficult, man. It's just... It's difficult. But who knows, maybe some of you out there can speak Vietnamese. Maybe you can. If you can, come and let us know at fakeologist.com. Come and join us on the Discord server. Very easy. If you never use Fakeologist, very easy. Just install the program. Is it just me, or did we used to call these things programs, and now we call them apps? Yeah? Maybe I've just got a poor memory, but I think they used to be called programs. Oh, you have to install this program. How do you do this? Oh, you put it install this program, blah, blah, blah. Now it's apps. You've got to install the app. But whatever it is, whether it's a program or an app or both, you just install it. You click on the Discord server for Fakeologists, and then you're here. It's that easy. Now, obviously, you have to be verified by ad to be able to speak here. But joining the server itself, very easy. An absolute piece of piss. So if you've ever thought of doing it, why not? Jump on board. It's good fun. It's good fun. So yeah, what else is news? Oh yeah, so I don't even know what's going on with those comments. Let's go back to this. I mentioned that there was this... let's go to this now, fakeologist.com. A 11:45, race starts in 25 minutes. And then of course tonight we've got the ATP finals. You've got Dominic Thiem facing up against somebody, Tsitsipas. I don't know Tsitsipas' first name. He's a Greek. And he beat Federer last night. Which I was watching. Yes, indeed. All right, so let's have a little look here. Falling air conditioners, what's this all about? Ab writes under the headline, falling air conditioners. He copies and pastes from a news article in Canada. She was our little angel. A community in Scarborough gathered on Saturday afternoon to mourn the loss of a young girl who died in hospital after she was struck by an air conditioning unit that fell 8 stories off the side of a city-owned apartment building last week. That is a long sentence, man. Now, it's got a picture of a little girl wearing a dress, and she's smiling. Obviously, this is before the alleged accident. And Ab writes that the GoFundMe page, so apparently the family is trying to raise money, I guess, because their child has died, supposedly, you know, according to the story. So Ab writes that the GoFundMe goes from $11,000 to $33,000. Let me click on this little link and just double check that. Yeah. Don't trust the TV, because it lies. Don't trust the TV, because it lies. Aha! Family and friends are also planning to launch a Facebook page in her memory, and already have a GoFundMe page that has raised more than $33,000. Yeah, yeah, boy, shit. So there you go, $33,000. Yeah, So Ab then writes that the Afghan president has released a statement. Public housing system, of which this building is part, It is in a constant state of disrepair, including problematic air conditioner mountings. Could this be the event required to get more public money? Another classic problem reaction solution site. Wow, Ab, how can you say that this is fake? Can't you see the cute little girl in the dress? You want me to believe that this is a fake story? Why would they lie? As if the TV would lie, somebody would have told us. Why hasn't someone come out and told us? Controlled graffiti spray. That's boring. Aha! First fake mutilation story. Although Ab uses the word circumcision, the more commonly used term for the practice of mutilating babies. Oh, we're just going to mutilate it, don't worry about it. Oh, it won't even notice. It won't even notice that we're chopping off part of its most sensitive organ on the body. It won't even notice, it's just a baby. Totally won't scar it for life. Although it literally does do that, physically. And only a moron can't see that would do it psychologically as well. Think about it. Completely helpless, defenseless, relies on its parents, and what happens at that young age? It just gets fucking mutilated, doesn't it? Yeah. It's got this empty brain that's just waiting to take in new information and learn about the world. And what does it learn? Oh, it's just... There's going to be hell to pay, my friend, if this is all real. However, I have a sneaking suspicion that there's more to the story. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam. I am. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam. I am. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam. I am. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam. I am. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam. I am. Yeah, it might be real, might be not. Who knows, man? I guess we'll all find out at the end, won't we? Cool, won't that be full on, though? Like, if we get to the end of this and it turns out it was all real, and it actually is judgment, holy shit. There'd be a lot of people just looking around at each other, like, scratching their heads, like, uh-oh. Well, I guess you got to face the consequences, man, don't you? Holy shit. You mean it was real the whole time? You mean there actually is objective right and wrong, after all? Oh, boy. Oh, no. Oh, dear. Dear, oh, dear. Well, why didn't you tell us? Why didn't you give us a book with all the rules or something? Golden rule? The golden rule? What the hell are you talking about? What the hell are you talking about right now? What the hell are you talking about? Green eggs and ham? What the hell are you talking about, mate? What the hell are you talking about right now? Huh? Alrighty. Just give me a second, guys. I'll be back in a jiffy. I get this right. So, I'm streaming both the Formula One and the soccer match. Hold on, here's that. What are the odds of that point?
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Dreams, they feel real while we're in them, right? It's only when we wake up that we realize something is actually strange.
That's Leo DiCaprio, isn't it? From Inception. I think. I haven't seen the film, but I think I've seen that scene. I think that's Vel Set who put together all of those bumpers. They're terrific, aren't they? Fantastic, if you ask me. So anyway, so I'm streaming both the England vs. Kosovo soccer match and the Formula One. And I'm talking to you all around the world, wherever you might be, here at Fakeologist.com. All from the comfort of my Airbnb couch that I booked and paid for on the internet. Have not met the owner, will probably never meet the owner. Don't need to meet the owner. I just let myself in. They give you instructions how to do it. What a time to be alive. And most of you, I mean, I'd love to meet you, but most of you I'll never meet in real life, right? Either because I'll never be in your part of the world, or even when I am, for whatever reason, we just don't catch up. So, and yet you can hear my thoughts about green eggs and ham, for instance. And if you leave a comment, I can read your comment. And your comment might be about green eggs and ham. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam. I am. The washing machine in this Airbnb. You have to take the clothes out of the washing machine as soon as they are finished because the bloomin' thing leaks onto the clothes. So after it spins, you know, the spin cycle to dry the clothes a little bit, as soon as it stops doing that, it goes beep, 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 and then just starts leaking all over the clothes. It's like, what the hell? What the hell? It's ridiculous. So... you know, sometimes you want to, like, put a load of washing on and then leave the house for whatever reason and then come back, and once you get home, dry the clothes, like hang the clothes out. No, you can't do that here. You've got to be here when the clothes are being washed. Otherwise, when you get back, they'll be drenched. It's ridiculous, man. Anyway, so Kosovo is underway. I'm going for Kosovo because they're the underdogs. And they are in blue. Seems to be playing a standard 4-4-2 formation. Give me a second and I'll just double check that. Meanwhile, England playing out through the back through a central defender. What are they playing? A three-man defence, are they? Cheeky buggers. Though pressing up early in this match, putting some pressure on their British defenders, this should be a high-scoring game. I'm tipping 5 goals plus between the two teams. The dead rubber, England playing around with their list, their teams, giving guys a chance. Kosovo with nothing to lose, playing in front of their home crowd. Just go nuts, boys. Play three up front. Go nuts. And two attacking midfielders as well. Go for it. What do you got to lose? I went to the 2010 World Cup, which was held in South Africa. I went to 3 Australian matches, one involving New Zealand and some little European country. Might have been Bosnia and Herzegovina, something like this. And England versus Germany. I got to be there when Germany destroyed England. What was it, 4-1? Some ridiculous scoreline. And I was going for England that day. Had my English flag and everything. If memory serves me correctly. I'll tell you a story about the World Cup. I smuggled a 6-pack of beer in aluminium cans into a World Cup match. True story. I just walked straight through the metal detector. Nothing happened. A metal detector is meant to be able to detect aluminium. Because if they are, then this particular one failed miserably. I just walked on through. At the time, I was playing around with this idea that if you just walk around like you own the joint, it's quite a long story, but I was like, I didn't actually expect to get away with it. I was like, yeah, only cost a few bucks. If they confiscate it, they confiscate it. Who cares, right? And so I just put my jacket. I used to have my favorite jacket was this old, like, green, kind of like military green, I guess, like similar to this soccer pitch, actually, that kind of green. Just a Nike jacket. I used to wear Nike. I got the jacket when I was like, I don't know, 16 or something. I still had it when I was 20. And, or 21, whatever age I was when I was in South Africa. How old was I in South Africa? 22. See, I just wrapped up the 6-pack in the jacket and just walked on through the metal detector. And nothing happened. And I was like, holy shit. So, yeah, to this day, I don't know the explanation. Are metal detectors meant to be able to detect aluminium? Let's find out. Can metal detect aluminium? Let's find out. Yes. This is according to Google. Any decent metal detector with the right settings can easily detect aluminium objects. In fact, aluminium has a significant electrical conductivity. Thus, it reacts to the electromagnetic detector. See it? In fact, that's metal detector gold hunting kind of thing. The size of that truck. Truck to this crazy country now. Where was I? Oh, yes, yeah, so that's for a gold hunting metal detector, but the ones you actually walk through. I mean, look, I think it should be able to detect aluminium. And don't try and tell me that it's some thin fabric. Like, no, it's crazy that I got away with that. So yeah, I just walked on in and enjoyed some beers at the 2010 World Cup. Good times. Germany, England. Yeah, boy, they got smashed. I think that match was in Bloemfontein. Bloemfontein, in the middle. There's two, like, major towns in the middle of South Africa, from memory, Bloemfontein, and I think the other one's called Kimberley. Could be mistaken. Been a long time. Been almost 10 years, mate. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam I am. This is the 37th Brazilian Grand Prix. 37. Like, 37 things normies believe. I used to believe a lot of normie things, man. And I don't know what happened. Sometimes one of us wakes up. It's not supposed to happen, but it does. There's lots of angry people. Lots of angry people. So mad. For what reason? Why do you have to be mad? Only game. Why are you here to be mad? It's only game. Why are you here to be mad? Why are you here to be mad? Green eggs and ham. It's only ham. do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam I am.
I like this. England pushing up both of their flank defenders to provide options. It's good. It's good attacking football. I like it. Let's see some goals, boys. Come on now. It's a dead rubber. Come on now. Don't be silly. Don't be silly. See, Kosovo is actually a country. Did you know that? Let's find out. Kosovo. Is Kosovo a country or not? This is... Dude, all I did was type in Kosovo a country. And the first question on Google is Kosovo a country or not? See, so I'm not the only one confused about all this. Kosovo, a self-declared independent country in the Balkans of Europe, although the United States and most members of the EU recognize Kosovo's declaration of independence from Serbia in 2008, Serbia, Russia, and a significant number of other countries did not. Oh, okay, so there you go. So according to some countries, Kosovo is not a country. There you go. I thought it was just a region. Yeah? Because when I was a kid, there was some major event in Kosovo. Let's type in Kosovo war. Let's type that in. This is when I was a kid, you see. I believe the Kosovo War was also known as Wag the Dog. The Kosovo War was an armed conflict in Kosovo that started in late February 1998 and lasted 11 June 1999. That is 11-6-1999 or 611-1999. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam I am. Shimona. Alrighty, what's the result? Kumanovo Treaty. Oh, okay. Hey, where'd my F1 commentary go? Bring it back. Oh, that's a great ball in. Well kept. Alrighty, let's have a look. Where's my commentary for my... where's my commentary for my... stream? What's going on here? Just trying to stream the F1. Okay. I really don't think that's asking very much. Give me the F1, I said. Alrighty. Quarter past midnight. Now the 18th of November. The date has changed, but one thing has not, and that is that I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them. Sam, I am. Alrighty. Shelby, what the hell are you on about, mate? Green eggs and ham? What is that, some kind of euphemism or something? Kind of code word that you and your CIA buddies use to communicate information? Well, you're bringing down the truth movement from the inside. Is that your little plan, is it? Here we go. They're about to start. The lights are about to go off. Yeah, boy. Here we go. 6 Formula One cars, 14 Formula 1.5. And it's lights out and away we go. Hamilton's already up to second position. Yeah, boy. Can Verstappen hold on? That's the question. Seriously, I know a lot of people hate Formula 1. I used to be one of them, probably, but it is gripping. I like this commentator, too. I don't know his name, but I've always liked him. Commentary changes, like, the commentary has such an effect on the enjoyment of a sports spectacle, in my opinion. My favourite part is when they have the cameras from inside, and you can see pretty much what the drivers are seeing. The reaction times necessary to pull this off are just phenomenal. I've never been in a major car accident as an adult. My parents once told me a story about being in a car accident when I was a kid. My babysitter, apparently, had a car crash and I was in the car. This was just a story that my parents told me years ago. I don't even know if it's true. In fact, next time I speak to them, I'm going to ask them. I'll see if the story they tell me now matches what they told me when I was a kid. But yeah, the story they told me was my babysitter had a car accident. And the car got smashed up, but I was safe. I was okay. But I don't remember anything about that. But as an adult, no, I've never been in a major car accident. I've been in a couple of small bingles. Like, for instance, one time, I used to have to, like, drive, like, 30 minutes to get home from work. 30, 40 minutes. When I was a uni student, I had a part-time job. And one of the places I lived in, I had to drive, yeah, about 30 or 40 minutes to get home from memory. And I'd driven almost all the way home. It was late at night, like, almost midnight, I think. Might have even been just after midnight. And I'm sitting at, like, the last intersection that I'm going to have to go through before I get to my home street. And I'm just sitting there, and then, poof, someone smashed me from the back. And, yeah, in the end, it was all covered with insurance, but, like, his insurance covered it. I got, actually, they officially wrote off my car. Because the car was worth nothing. It was a piece of shit. I loved it. I loved that car, actually. If I could have that car back, but I don't have a car now. I'm not even in Australia, obviously. But if I was in Australia, I would love to have that car back. The old VR Commodore. Good times. But, I mean, objectively, it was a piece of shit car. So, the other insurance company just wrote it off and just gave me a check and... I forgot about that. Yeah, so I've been in a couple of like small things like, but no major car accidents. But I've heard stories of people who've been in major car accidents, like, man, time just slows down. And it's funny what adrenaline does to you. Adrenaline. And it's very interesting, isn't it? How much adrenaline is there in our body? Because some people's bodies produce more adrenaline than others. Some of us get more of an adrenaline regularly in our lives so that there is an adrenaline rush. It doesn't affect us as much as other people. Some people get no real rushes in their day-to-day life, and then when there is adrenaline, it messes them up. Interesting stuff. The problem with these streams is every 5 minutes they cut out, so you have to click, and it comes up with a stupid pop-up, so you have to click again. Frustrating. But yeah, adrenaline. How do they measure that? Very interesting. I've been in situations where I thought, like, I've been in situations that, in the moment, felt very dangerous. In the end, nothing bad happened. But I'm sure most of you guys as well, you've been in situations where you've got a massive adrenaline dump, and then how do you respond? I bungee jumped once, and I was pretty sure I was in big trouble. Man, I was, I remember looking down, like, I'm a dead man. Here's that.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
Bungee jumping. Yeah. I was in South Africa. They've got this thing called Blue Kranz Bridge on the south. There's a beautiful driving route. I mean, it's a transport route. It's not just for scenic driving, but it is a very scenic route. It's called the Garden Route or the Garden Road, one of the two. And it connects Cape Town all the way through to Port Elizabeth. From memory, don't quote me. And there's this bridge in the middle called Blue Kranz Bridge, and you can jump off it. And to cut a very long story short, we're staying at a hostel, me and the young lady that I was travelling around with, and we're drinking with a whole bunch of the others from the hostel, I think. Yeah, we met them at the hostel, so we're drinking, and I was like, oh yeah, I'll jump, I'll do the bungee jump, why not, you know? You know when you're drunk and you're just acting like a hero. And then the next morning, everyone's like, all right, cool, when are we going bungee? We want your bungee. Oh, okay. I'd kind of committed myself to it, hadn't I? So, yeah, I went and bungee jumped. And, I was very scared, to be perfectly frank. Even just walking along the walking, what would you call it? Like, underneath the bridge is the walking access. And you're just walking on metal, like see-through, that's like perforated metal, I suppose. Yeah. So you can see right through. And by that stage, I've already been in Africa for like 5 months. So I knew enough about this place to know, don't trust that whoever was meant to do their job has done it, basically. I'd learned that by this stage. And so I was scared even just walking along that the path to where you bungee. And also I'd gotten drunk the night before, like I said, and I'm always very, like the next day after drinking I get, I guess what you might call anxiety, like my mind just worries a lot more if I've been drinking the night before. So I was just like walking across that walkway, just I thought I was dead basically. But nobody died, nobody got hurt. Fine. Jumped. Man, the human body falls fast, okay? Anyone who's parachuted or bungee jumped will tell you, once you leave the platform, you just plummet. Plummet, man. It's like your body's getting sucked towards the earth. And that was like my first thought once I left the platform. I was like, you feel like you're falling too fast. Like, it feels unnatural. You just plummet. And then the bungee kicks in, and then, you bounce up and down a few times, and It's a beautiful view, wow. Once you realize, oh, I'm not dead, I'm not going to fall out of this. That's what I was afraid of. I was afraid I was going to slip out of the bungee, seriously. Like the things I put around your ankles, I was afraid I was going to slip out. Once you realize, no, I'm not going to slip out, I'm not going to die, you just take in the view. And, yeah, an amazing... I still remember just taking it all in. It was it was full on. But that was a massive adrenaline dump. And then a couple of things happened in South Africa as well, where several of us thought we might be in big trouble. In the end, we got out of the situation, but it was hairy for a few moments. Yeah, the old adrenaline dump. Full on. Imagine the adrenaline driving these things. I wonder, like, they'd be nervous like most sportsmen are, like right before the event. Probably right as the lights are about to go out to start the race. There'd be a lot of adrenaline. But do they have 40, 50, 60 minutes of adrenaline to sort of level out? How's Kosovo going? Are they 1-0 up yet? Wow, 25 minutes and it's still 0-0. And I was trying to say it's going to be high scoring. What do I know? Nothing. They are attacking though, Kosovo. Well, that's just a nothing shot, isn't it? Well, they've had a couple of shots on goal, the English. And the Kosovoans, for that matter. All open. Nah. I'm trying to watch two sports at the same time, listen to one of them, and talk to you guys here at Fakeologist.com. There's a live chat for one of the streams I'm watching. This is for the Kosovo-England match. There's a live stream chat. And one of the persons has written, England playing against non-existent country and scoring opportunities are non-existent as well. Well, after 25 minutes. And then the next guy in the comment chain says Keanu Reeves missing with reality again, making a reference to The Matrix. I just finished editing a call about The Matrix to johnlebon.com. 2-hour podcast where we discuss The Matrix, the Wachowski siblings. You should see the stadium they're playing at, this Kosovo-England match. They've got security all around the pitch. There's probably only 3 metres, in some cases 2 metres, all down the wing. 2 metres between each guard. They would easily have 200, 300 guards. Obviously don't trust the locals to behave themselves. It's full on. If you go to sport now in Australia, one of the reasons I don't like actually going to live sport in Australia is the number of police and security. It's ridiculous. You feel like you're in a prison. Seriously, that's how it feels. It's like, what's with all these police? And they're not friendly. They're not walking around with smiles on their faces. Enjoy the game. No, they're angry-looking people. Oh, here we go. Kosovo has a break here. Good ball. Here we go. Get on the scorecard, son. Oh, there was a tap. You should have dived, son. Could have got a penalty. Oh, well. These guys don't know how to play soccer. Diving's part of the game, bro. Someone has responded in the live chat. Kosovo is an independent country and also a great football team. So please be quiet and enjoy the game. One of the dudes has written, reason why United Cuckdom is scared to score is because every house in Kosovo has guns. It's a good banter in this live chat. I like it. Ooh, huge turnover. Must make them pay. Come on. Nah, just jogging. They've been playing for 30 minutes. Oh, another massive turnover. This is like watching freaking under 16 amateurs, mate. Look at this. Oh, no. That's a goal. Oh, no. What is going on out there? Kane, who is an international, like he's a star player, right, at the top level. He just had an open shot, and he's kicked it straight into the defender. This is comical. What's going on out there? Someone in the live chat goes, Kosovo has to become truly independent, then think of qualifying. Oh, that's a goal. Too easy. There you go, 31 minutes for the first goal to be scored. He has just walked that through the defence. That was a full wall as well. He's walked it through a four-man wall. What is going on out there? You cannot trust a TV live. Boom, boom, boom. Boom. Boom, boom, boom. Someone in the live chat just goes, literally walked it in. Yeah, he did. Full on. Look at this. Full four-man wall. Yeah, just walk it through. Nothing the keeper can do about that. Except maybe go and chat with his centre-back and say, mate, just quietly, your job is to stop them from doing exactly what they just did. So next time, do the opposite of what you just did. Cheers, mate. And bungee jumping, yeah, give it a go, guys. If you get a chance, why not? If you want a lot of fun, do it in Africa. And make it even more fun, do it in Africa after you've been there for 4 or 5 months and completely lost any confidence in their ability to do their jobs. Then when the dude's putting that little bungee strap on your ankles, then you'll know adrenaline, my friend. Like, oh my God. Dude, these people are dancing while they're doing their job. They've got music playing. But it's like really loud music playing on the bridge for the bungee jumping. And these dudes, the people working there, they're just dancing, man, dancing while they've got your life in their hands, man. And not doing it for a joke. Like, that's just how they are. But yeah, that's for the excitement. What about that? Holy shit. Would I ever do it again? Maybe. If I ever wake up one morning and I find out that I was the previous night getting drunk and bungee jumping, I guess I would have to again. It's not something I'd go out of my way to do again, though. I remember there was one place I was thinking of doing, but it was just an ugly place. It was somewhere in the city. Like, you're basically jumping up a crane, and I'm like, stop that, man. I've jumped in, like, one of the most beautiful parts of the world and just dangled there, taking in the most beautiful scenery in the world. And this place is just a freaking city, an ugly city? I don't think so. Tell you what, this is an open game of football. How is there only one goal scored when it's this open? This is madness. This is crazy. That's a terrible cross. This is a terrible cross. Look at that. Scheisen. Here we go. Let's go back to the F1. What's going on over there? Let's take a look. Verstappen still first, Hamilton still second. Hey, the stream I'm using for Formula 1 is advertisement. Oh my God. Look at this stuff. This actually works too. This is a billion-dollar industry, I understand, so this does work. Oh man, I forgot to take the washing in the washing machine. Uh-oh. Well, it's going to be trenched. I'll be back in a second. So get this. I just discovered not only does the washing machine leak from the moment that it finishes the spin cycle, but whatever mechanism it uses to let water out, that also closes off. So it'll fill up. It'll probably overspill, actually, if you left it long enough. So I just put on my clothes, and they're literally sitting in a bath of water. A tub of water. And I'm like, well, how do I fix this? Now, you might think, oh, we'll just put it on a spin cycle. Because you don't have to wash them again to spin them yet. It's the washing machines in Vietnamese. So all the buttons, I don't know what the hell they say. The only button that has any instructions is the one that says start. So I was like, stuff it. I'll just wash them again. I know there's a spin cycle at the end of that. And this time, I will just be careful to take the clothes out as soon as I hear the spin. But there was no little beepy song, you know, like the little beepy song washing machines do. So the washing machine, where you have to take the clothes out straight away, otherwise it leaks all over the freaking clothes. And it doesn't tell you when it's finished. So you've pretty much got to babysit the washing machine. Gosh, what a time to be alive, man. I'll tell you. Anyway, second world problem. You know what I mean? Here we go. Wow, the first half of the soccer's almost over. And the score's still 0-1. England lead. How can a game this open have one goal in the first? It's a dead rubber as well. Goodness gracious me. I'm not even... Am I back on? Did I press unmute or am I... Still on mute. Should I just tell my story to nobody? Oh, no, I'm not on mute. All right. How about the F1? How's the F1? Let's take a little look. I do not like green eggs in here. Well, here we go. Verstappen's gone in for an oily pit change. Here we go. Hamilton as well. Sure. I just got a message from Jera saying, may I join you? Come along, dude. Spagologist.com. Go and have a chat. Jairus, are you there?
Yes, I am there. Hi, how are you doing?
Yeah, good. It's been a while since we've spoken. How have you been?
Oh, it's been with some up and down, let's say, but I will not complain. I am a full able man that I can totally defend myself and navigate the difficulty of existence, so I will not complain.
That is a very philosophical introduction. Yeah, life. Life has its ups and downs, my friends, doesn't it?
Yes, yes. And how can you appreciate the ups if there is absolutely no down?
Exactly, exactly. How can you have good without bad, black without white, forwards without backwards?
Exactly.
And, yeah, I understand that we, here at Fakeologist.com, we've lost your partner in crime. I understand Gaia has taken another sabbatical from the website. So.
Yes, he has taken one of his numerous voluntary hiatus from Fakeologist. But I am confident that he will be back sometimes when he feels like it.
If I were a bookmaker, I would have Gaia returning to Fakeologist within a year. At about $1.03 would be the opening. And even then, I'd be risking losing a lot of money because people would just pour onto that. That's easy money. He'll be back. Don't worry about that. And you're going to visit him soon. It's November now, so you'll be seeing him in 2 months, I understand.
Yes, I'll be there on the 14th of January. If everything goes as planned, but yes, my objective is to buy the plane ticket by the end of this month, and then it will be settled in the sense that I have the plane ticket, so I am sure that I am going to go there. But it takes a lot of planning because some other people are supposed to go also. And it's not that easy to put everything in form and manage to get everyone in the same place. As you, sadly enough, had the displeasure to experience while you were in Bangkok when Rollo was there also.
Yeah, well... Yeah, don't even get me started about that. But so how much are airfares from Switzerland from Geneva to South America?
The less expensive would be in the $700 range.
That's return, yeah?
Yes, with the return. So it's not that expensive, to be honest.
No, I mean, considering you jump on an object and it takes you to the other side of the world, it's phenomenal. We live in amazing times, my friend. Truly amazing times. Yes. I feel blessed.
Yes. Yes, the possibility to communicate and to rejoin everyone you want for a reasonable amount of money is something that the generation before us had never the chance to experience, and they really missed on that, let's say.
You're right. It is a reasonable amount of money. $1,000, right, which, $700 is about $1,000 Australian. Which anyone with a job, a full-time job, and just regular rent costs can save $1,000 in a month, in my honest opinion, in Australia. So for 1 month of working, okay, a lot of jobs aren't that fun, but so what? After 1 month, you can afford to jump on an object that will take you to the other side of the world and back. That's for 1 month of work, man. That's crazy.
Yes. Yes.
That's phenomenal. That's goodness. And yet, there are people out there who want to sit around and complain about the world. It's like, what the hell? Some people have their priorities around the wrong way, if you ask me.
Yes. When I was in boot camp, there was a sort of saying. There was saying, when you were walking and you were complaining, if you complain, it's that you have enough air in your lungs to continue to complain. It's the same here. If you still have the energy to complain, it's that in the end, you are absolutely fine.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I mean, and I'm not trying to suggest there are no problems in the world, but I think there's a balance in what we focus on. There can be a balance, and I think a better balance is, there are problems, but look at the amazing thing. I mean, I'm talking to you right now. I've never met you in real life, but we've talked online maybe, half a dozen times, a dozen times, and it's practically free. The internet is practically free, yeah, and I can talk to you right now while I'm watching the Formula One that's happening in Brazil. How crazy is that?
Yes, same with me. I'm speaking with you while I am watching last night UFC that I downloaded on my cell phone for absolutely no cost.
Oh, yeah, the UFC was in Brazil as well, wasn't it? And
yes, exactly.
I'm not going to spoil it for you, bro. In fact, I'm not going to say anything, but yeah, I watched that today. I downloaded it as well today. I'm not going to say anything.
Yes, for some reason the UFC is... I mentioned it on a private conversation, or maybe was it with Ab yesterday, but anyway, the only sport I found interesting, the sport where you are, the participants are really taking a risk, where there is a real cost if you fail, if you miss, or whatever. Not a sport where, okay, we lost the game, but next weekend it will be different. If you lose an UFC fight, the fact is that you might lose your livelihood for the next 6 months.
Yeah, yep. You make a good point. In saying that, motorsport does have a similar element of risk, like watching these guys fly around 250 miles an hour, or whatever speed they're going.
Yes.
Like, these guys are taking a risk as well, but deaths are very rare. Injuries are very rare in motorsport. But so, yeah, in UFC, I mean, you can see people break their legs trying to throw kicks. You know, if you throw a leg kick, checked, that can break your leg. Bang, you're out for months now. You're out for months. Okay. You're not going to be...
But what I found the most impressive, let's say, because I watched the UFC for, like, since 2006, one way or another, I always watched free fight. And, of course, you tend to see the same participant year after year and see the degradation on the individual due to the hard training and the fight themselves. It's very, very impressive.
Dude, the amount of courage it must take to jump into a ring, even in front of a small audience.
Oh, yes.
The amount of genuine courage is just off the charts. I've got so much respect for every single dude who jumps in the ring. That's why, like, if you read, like, Reddit UFC, like, Reddit, the subreddit for the UFC, you know, a lot of these fighters have fake, like, people who hate them. Like, people who truly hate them, talk shit about them, and it's like, how can you hate any guys? How can you hate them? I don't get it. Like, every single one of these dudes, by stepping in that ring, instantly tougher than me, and tougher than all these clowns on Reddit talking shit. Every single one of them,
yes.
Just for stepping into that ring.
Yes, yes.
And then yes, imagine the guys who were doing it at, like, Madison Square Gardens, like the UFC last month, or a couple of weeks ago, where they're doing it in front of, what, 10,000, 20,000 people in the venue. And then you've got millions around the world, and it's like, yeah, dude, you throw the wrong punch, and this guy takes opportunity, takes you down to the ground, yeah, armbars you. Millions of people are watching you get finished. That's the risk it takes when you walk in.
Yeah, some of those fighters bring their kids there, and that is something I really have time to understand. If I were to get beat up in front of my children, I think that it would traumatize them. Even on a professional setting with a referee and rules and everything, I think that's a crazy sign of the self-confidence that you have in yourself to bring your children in an event where you might potentially be beat up for 15 minutes in front of them.
Yeah, you're right, it's a risk. I was watching the tennis yesterday, right? Federer versus this Tsitsipas Greek dude. And you could see Federer's wife. Now, she has watched him play literally hundreds of matches. And yet, you could see the effect it was having on And that's a tennis match. So imagine the effect it has on them watching you get punched in the head.
Yes.
I have
a friend. I don't know if he's currently in Geneva, but... he did travel to Thailand, to Phuket, more precisely, because he wanted to train Muay Thai there. The big dude, he's very, very strong and everything. And it so happened that the guy hooked up with some French guy that said to him, "But guy, you have a look. We can do something with you. Just hang around with us for a few more days or whatever." And my friend that was in Thailand to train Muay Thai ended up in a movie. Can you imagine that? A French movie, a big production with some well-known actors. And it was not a big success, but can you imagine that? Just by traveling to Thailand, my friend had the possibility to be in a feature film.
Well, that's a pretty cool story. What was he doing? Like, he was an extra, like some guy sitting in a cafe?
To be honest, he was a bit more than an extra. He has a scene with the main character, and he has a few speaking scenes, and he ended up being killed in a dramatic fashion. So, no, it's good for him. If the guy is able to manage this bit of exposure that he had, he can land some small role on other production because he has...
That is pretty cool, man. That is a cool story. That's the kind of story that you can take with you for the rest of your life. Like, I was... Did you ever see that movie, blah, blah, blah? Oh, I heard about it. Does that one have, what's his name in it? Yeah, yeah. Dude, I was in that. Let me show you. Bang. Straight on YouTube. Holy shit, man. That'd be a cool story to take with you for the rest of your life.
Yes, yes, I cannot only imagine, because just for me, that is a friend with the guy, seeing him on Netflix in a movie was so cool. So I can only imagine what it is for him. But yes, so it go back to your point that this is not a world that is awful and impossible to live in. There is some great thing to live, experience to have, and sometimes it's better to look on the bright side, travel around, and like you do, exactly like you do, see what is it about in other parts of the world, and form a more intelligent opinion, let's say.
Jairus, I'm blessed. I can't believe it. I look around sometimes and I'm like, what the hell am I doing here? You know, like what? I remember a few years ago when I was in my... All I wanted was to make just enough money, like just work just enough and make just enough eating and... That's all I wanted to do. And now I've got that. And that's phenomenal, you know. See you, Zab.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Yes, if I were to give an opinion on your current situation, I think that you are a good dude and you always act rightly in your life, so somehow it's kind of a karmic reward that you are living here, you know? You are enjoying the fruits of general good attitude and well behavior in life, I would say.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. That's how I feel as well. Like, I feel as though, you know, I did put the effort in to happen. And I do try and be a good person. You know, I do try to be a good person. But what's the future hold? That's the thing, dude. What is the future hold? I think about that a lot. What... future for me, for young West men.
Yes, to be honest, people that have children like me, the way you see the future is very different. You don't really think about your future yourself. You know, you see it on a broader perspective. And this week, I was my attention was brought to some kind of feministic organization in Geneva that has somehow got into the art school. And they are all about, people with a darker skin tone than me, and not on the same gender. You know, they are mostly about the female, and if said female is a darker skin tone than white, it's even better. And my first reaction was to be kind of indignated, you know, because I am a white male and I feel threatened by those kind of big billboards that are put in front of the art school. But in the end, if I really take the future in consideration, I have a daughter. And my daughter is now 13 years old since Wednesday. And the thing is that she is not a white-skinned person, and she is a female. So in the end, if the world is changing toward more feminine environment, and yes, more kindly to people of mixed races, it's only good for her, better for her. So... in the end, I get to see beyond my own personal interest and consider that this thing might be better for her, because she is the future.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Is a more feminized world really for women, though? Because I put to you that men and women are victims. Like, men and women suffer as a result of so-called feminism.
Yes. Yes.
They like, when you take that. Away gender roles, and when you take away, like, an appreciation of... sexual dimorphism, that is males and females being inherently different, and in that contrast being a good thing, once you take that away, I think it's a complete disaster. I think Australia, the Australian youth, they're a horror show, bro. They're a complete horror show. So many of them are on so-called antidepressants or anti-anxiety medication. They're a complete disaster, man. Honestly, it's not their fault. They don't understand. But they've been psychologically destroyed. And I think this so-called feminism, is a huge part of that. Huge part of
it. Yes, everything that tend to divide the person by gender, by ethnicity, by religious group is inherently bad, I would think. So.
No, that's the opposite of what I'm saying. I'm saying gender, so-called gender, as in male, masculine, female, feminine, it's a good thing. You want women to be feminine. You want men to masculine.
Yes, of course.
And they make a good partnership when they do this. When you take that away, when you stop the boys from being masculine, when you convince the women to act masculine, disaster. Complete disaster. You know, on the TVs here in Vietnam, it's very common to see, whether it's in music clips or in TV shows, the man beating the woman, and not in a, like, not in an objectionable way. It's not like, oh, this is a man beating a woman, stop doing it. And it's like, no, that's part of the relationship. She spoke out of turn, bang, right? Can you imagine seeing such a thing in Australia? No.
No, but or in Switzerland. Many things. Yes. I can give you an example. It's slightly different, but it's kind of related to the issue. There is a TV show on Netflix that my fiancé was watching because it's over now, but it's about a group of teenagers that somehow survived a kind of apocalyptic scenario. And yes, they are surviving in small groups, tribal groups, and at one point there was this white dude that was hanging out a corner and they were having this party. So he sees this black girl coming with, near where he is, and he says to her, "Do you want to dance?" The girl is looking at him and say, "Do I look like I eat white meat?" And she slightly get away and the scene is over, you know? And it's funny because if it was an opposite scenario, let's say if a black guy asked a white girl to dance and she said, "Do I eat black meat?" and she did get away, I don't think that specific sequence would be included in the final edit, you know?
I know what you're saying. Yeah, so I've been never even raised my voice with a partner, let alone anything physical happening. But I know a lot of guys in Australia, their girlfriends hit them, pinch them, scratch them, and throw stuff at them is common. Yeah? Like, that's just how it is now. It's absolutely messed up. It's a disaster. Some of the stuff that I read as well, like, I read a lot of internet forums, and obviously an internet forum, anyone can post anything. You can't necessarily know it's true, but when you read enough of what people are writing, certain content, you get a feel for certain things. And some of the stuff I read, I'm just like, these guys have no idea how bad a situation they're in. They're that used to being mistreated. They think this is acceptable. For instance, recently, and I mean earlier this afternoon, I was on one of the forums I sometimes read, and there's a section where people talk about lifestyle, just about different lifestyle things, whether it's what food they eat or where they're traveling to or whatever, asking for advice, hey, I'm going to this country, what should I know, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, one guy had written a post about he had become a chef somewhere in Europe, some remote little town in Europe. He was a chef in Australia, but he'd gone to work as a chef in this remote town. And it's this beautiful town. He posted all his photos of him in the town. It's gorgeous, gorgeous. Anyway, he's posting about how his girlfriend has bipolar disorder. So some days she's loving and she treats him well. But some days she treats him like shit, sends him these horrible text messages about what a bad boyfriend he is, how hopeless he is, how useless he is, stuff. And he's like, you know, like he's posted like, I understand it's a bipolar, I understand it's not doing this, you know, but it's difficult for me, you know, and it's like, what the fuck?
Yes.
There's no justification, there's no excuse for that. Never.
Yes.
The moment she treats you like that.
I would get diagnosed the same illness and start beating up on her. Because then it's justified. I am sick, not my fault.
Yeah, and like, this is one person's post on the internet forum, right? But I think this is common. I think this is common for...
Yes.
People now, guys especially, probably girls as well though, that's how messed up things are. It's common for people now in these so-called to just accept, oh, every now and then, they just treat me like absolute shit. Yeah, but it's not their fault because they have a mental.
If you allow me,
and it's,
I will now get us to listen to Sean Connery's take on slapping women. That is a great listen.
You did an interview in which you said, not the worst thing to slap a woman now and then. As I remember, you said you don't do it with a clenched fist. It's better to do it with an open hand.
Mm.
Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't love that.
I haven't changed my opinion.
You haven't?
No. Not at all.
You think it's good to slap a woman?
No, I don't think it's good.
You don't think it's bad?
I don't think it's that bad. I think that it depends entirely on the circumstances and if it merits it. Yeah.
Well, what would merit it?
Well, if you have tried everything else... And women are pretty good at this, that they can't leave it alone. They don't want to have the last word, and you give them the last word, but they're not happy with the last word. They want to say it again and get into a really provocative situation. Then I think it's absolutely right.
Et voilà.
So that was Sean Connery, was it?
Yes.
Yeah. I wonder when this was recorded. You wouldn't say something like that today, that's for sure.
No.
Not if you want to have a career in Hollywood anyway.
Yes. It's not... there is no precision on the date of the recording, but if that's any indication, he was interviewed by Barbara Walters. At the time of that video, he was already pretty bold, and yes, I would say that he was in his late 50s, mid to late 50s. So, not something that is current, but not that old either.
Yeah, so you see that stuff on the TV in Vietnam. Like, I don't even watch the TV. I'm just looking at TVs I've seen in cafes and stuff. Sometimes they're playing TV shows, like soap operas. Sometimes they're playing movie clips. But yeah, you'll see the man hitting the woman. And again, it's not in a context of, oh, this is bad. It's just part of the show, part of the narrative. It's, yeah, full on. And it's like, also, too, it's... People know, like, everyone knows the common thing. The point where a lot of these women, when they meet Westerners, one of the things that... And like, most Vietnamese women, from what I can tell, they want to be with Vietnamese men. Every country that I'm familiar with, the majority still want to be the majority. It's only a minority who want to be foreigners, right? But among that minority, there is this tendency to see Western men as more progressive. Like, Western men are happy for the wife to have a job, and they're happy for the wife to make the decisions and all this kind of stuff. And that's how Western culture now is seen, I think, by a lot of these Asian people, Asian culture people. It's like, in the West, you know, it's more, you know, the women are treated better. But I'm not really sure our women are treated better. I think our women are treated terribly, and that's why they all go mad. That's why they all go completely mad. They all go insane. Not all of them, but a lot of them go completely insane. Why is that?
Yes, as I see,
because giving them all of this so-called freedom is not a, oh, now you're free to go and work a shit job. How's that good? How's that beneficial?
This freedom is just terrible there so the male can still dump the woman. And it's not like the other times, you know, before, if you were to divorce or whatever, we'll have to really financially support said woman. But if she has a decent job and a kind of independence or whatever, you can envision to divorce her. It's easier, you know, less costly and easier, so... Giving women some kind of financial and social independence, which is not a bad thing in itself, is, I think, a way to destroy further the families.
Well, what is the typical workplace? How much work is actually done at a typical workplace, especially office workplaces? Not very much, typically, right? It's predominantly meetings and politics, right? So why would you want your wife involved in that? Yeah? And the amount of like intra office so called romance, like everyone knows what's going on, everyone knows what's going on, and you want your wife to go and sit in an office where, look, it's a disaster. If you ask me, that's just my opinion. There are people listening to this
who I'm sure have wives who are happy working.
And they're happy for their wives to. Great, like, I'm not even trying to say that people should do this or should do that.
From the few parts of our administration that I had the displeasure to interact, I would not be worried so much about the masculinity of the office, the common office work, at least in Switzerland or in Geneva particularly. You know, I would not worry that the government office are full how can I say that? Healthy and desirable men for women. It's mostly, low energy people, not very strong physically, balding, you know, the type.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Like, the office places aren't full of too many desirable men based purely on their nature as a man. But if they're in a position of power, they're instantly desirable for that. Highly,
yes.
That makes him instantly desirable. So it doesn't matter if he's not what you would consider to be a masculine man. It doesn't matter. If he is one of power, that is instantly attractive to the same way that if a woman has beautiful hair, she's attractive to that feature. Well, many positions of power, that's attractive to women. And you want your you want your wife to go in an office where the manager or the one of the directors or the CEO can just walk into the office at time. And I mean, yeah, it's a recipe for disaster. Yeah. If you have certain opinions about the way a marriage should be, some people have different opinions. It's like, oh, well, you know, see no evil, hear no evil. They, you know, what happens?
As I see it, I would let my fiance, I would let her work in an office or whatever. And I will trust her firstly, and also the fact that she's working in an office make a multiply her revenue. Then we can make some money, get some money aside, travel, see beautiful places, and reinforce our relation to the point that I don't have to worry about any man in power of workplace issue. And the same with her in the end.
Yeah, well, whatever works for you. Like I said, I'm not trying to tell people what to do.
Oh yeah.
For me, looking at the situation as it is, just knowing what I know, having seen what I've seen, yeah, the whole system is set up for
yes.
If you are complete disaster.
Of course, it's better to keep your wife at home. It's something that really changed in Switzerland, because when I was a child, my mother could totally stay at home and raise, spend her time as she wanted to during the day while we were at school, whatever. But now it's way more difficult to survive on one income only if the income is not fantastic. I will say that if your income is less than 10,000 Swiss francs per month, which is a lot, it's difficult to survive with your wife and, let's say, one or two children on that income.
Well, I don't know anything about Switzerland and the cost of living. Now, what I can tell you, though, is in Australia, most people waste most of their money. Most people spend way more than they need to on food, entertainment, drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, fast food, you name it. They're wasting their cash, man. Most people have no ability to budget, to stick to a budget. They don't think about their money. They just live moment to moment. They think they need all this money. No, they don't, right? No, they don't. They just waste their money. Now, I don't know if that's the case in Switzerland. If someone says to me, oh, no. So if someone in Australia says to me, oh, no, my wife has to work, we can't afford for her not to work, I'm like, well, that's clearly bullshit. In my mind, I won't say it to them because I don't want to offend anybody. Well, that's clearly bullshit.
No.
What you mean is you can't afford all the shit that you want and all the shit you waste your money on if she doesn't work. That's what you mean. That's what you're saying to me. This idea that you can't live on that now.
Now it's easy to judge that people are wasting their money because there is an insane amount of Uber Eats drivers or chauffeur, can I say that, delivery guys. So the thing is that, of course, people are spending an insane amount of money to get all type of stupid food delivered. Some things that it will probably be easy to fix themselves at home and spending a good time doing it with their loved one or even alone, if the case is that they are alone. So just that is an insane amount of money that is wasted. And also, if you see the post office delivery guy, what can I say that? The mail, when the mailman is coming to whatever building, he always has this big box of clothes that are ordered, probably paid at the end of the month when the salary is finally in the account. So, yes, people are wasting an insane amount of money on things that they don't really need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and they've got every right to. I've got no problem with it. Trying to say, we don't have enough money, and it's like, okay, but what are you actually spending your money on? Let's just go through this list. And before long you realise, yeah, these people are wasting money. I don't think I don't know England, all I know is Australia, but in Australia, even the guy working a crap job, if he and his family are smart with their money, that's enough. Especially because taxation is progressive. So in other words, when you don't earn very much, you don't get taxed very much, right? And then once the second person starts working, typically tax is done as a couple. So she's effectively the second income, her income normally. She's starting in a higher tax bracket. Really, I mean, hold on.
If you want to encourage more audios like these, please go to Fakeologist.com and click the Patreon button under the Donate section. For $1.19 a month, you can call yourself a verified listener, and for $9.11 a month, a benefactor, who will get a shout out every time Ab does a show. Thank you for your support.
It's like I was saying, that the second income is basically taxed at a higher tax rate, higher marginal tax rate. Whereas the single man, if he's just working his own single income, first so many thousands of dollars, say in Australia, aren't even taxed. The first $20,000 you earn in Australia are not even taxed. Okay? The first 20 grand is not taxed. But that's only for the first person in the couple. Right? The second person doesn't get that advantage, as far as I'm aware. And so when she's working, how much is she even bringing home from that? A lot of it's taxed. Yeah?
Yes.
And then you've got childcare, man. A lot of people, by the time you take away what they're paying on childcare, they don't come out ahead at all. Or if they do come out ahead, marginal. It's barely ahead of where they would have been anyway. And then you've got people working in childcare, looking after your kids instead of your own wife. It's just insane. We live in a madhouse. It's all seriously.
Oh, yes, yes. Everything about the family settings, the family right, and the way people are doing it, it's totally insane, if you tell me. But, yeah, no better than the next person. And when I was younger, when I did have my child at the time, I did not know better. That was the scenario I was headed to. And without speaking too much on my personal case, yes. It's an horrible situation, and there is nothing that you can do about it. It's the way the society is. You get to live your life with the most consideration and choose the right person to be with if you really want that scenario to happen.
Yeah, everyone's got to make their decision. They're responsible for themselves. That's it.
But the world is the way it is, and there is no changing that.
Well, that's for damn sure. Yeah, there's no change in the world. There's no stopping the way it is, my friend. It is what it is.
The bad
well, listen, brother, I'm pretty good. It's 1:30 locally. It's time for me to go and have some rest. It's been nice talking to you, Jerris.
Yes,
sometime.
As always.
And, I'm sure I'll talk to you again before you head to South America, which is exciting. Are you planning to make videos while you're there? Upload YouTube videos.
I record an insane amount of audios and videos, and yes, I will also do some kind of trial with my visit to the CERN and some other things that I plan to do in between to get more accustomed to the life setting, like the outside or whatever.
Mhm. Yeah, that'd be cool. I mean, a lot of people don't want to go on camera. Completely understandable. We probably won't get to you and Jerris, you and Guy rather on camera. But man, that'd be cool if it's just you two, a camera, you two just chatting at a cafe or at a bar or something, and you're just chatting about Fakeology. That'd be cool. And I think people would like to see that. In fact, I think that's probably one of the reasons why I've had the relative success that I've had is because, hey, I go on camera, people can see me, they can hear me, and it's easier for them to relate to that. Whereas if it's just audio, whereas when people can see you, it makes it more... That we'll try and use for... So I was in a live chat the other day, and this guy came into the live chat and accused all of us of being... Right? He accused all the men of being trannies, basically. And he accused us of not having all this stuff. Now, he was just trolling, right? I think he was trolling. The point is, a lot of people... Personal insult. And understandably, it's not fun to have people just insulting you. It's very unnatural. Real life, that doesn't happen. In real life, you don't walk down the street and talk that kind of shit. It just doesn't happen. It only happens on the internet for various reasons. So I completely understand why a lot of people don't want to go on camera. But if you and Guy did, man, just record you and him chatting, man. I would definitely watch.
To be honest, I see absolutely no objection to be on camera. At one point on Discord, my avatar was a picture of me. I did publish some pictures of me at one point or other. I don't really care about protecting my identity. The second name on my handle, Benoit, is my real name.
Yeah, cool, cool. Yeah, well, I'm sure I'll speak to you before you see Guy, but yeah.
Yes.
Hopefully things in Switzerland are good for you, man, and we'll speak again soon, yeah?
Yes, yes.
All right, take care, man.
Bye-bye. So everyone, that was FAQ 632, if I am correct. I hope that you have enjoyed this nice discussion that we have with... I don't really know if it was really fakeology related, but it's always a pleasure to speak with him. I will leave you with the Patreon handle of Fakeologist, which is patreon.com/fakeologist. Have a nice day, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your weekend if you still have some, and bye-bye. I am back, and I don't know if John Lebon ever took the time to promote himself, but he has a website, he has a YouTube channel, and you can find him on probably those media pretty easily. So, visit his website, try to see what the guy is about if you don't already know about him. Have a nice day, everyone. Bye-bye.
That's all, folks.